Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message. Well, at the end of this message, I'm going to ask you to write down one way that you are going to help this Christmas be a better season for someone less fortunate. I think we've all been in a place at some point in our lives where we've had to wonder to ourselves, how am I going to get out of this thing? Where we felt helpless, where we felt hopeless, and wondered what was going on. Maybe it is that you had just built up so much debt over the course of time that you felt like you couldn't get out from underneath it. Or maybe it was that you had lost a loved one. Maybe when you were a child, you'd lost your parents. Maybe when you were older, you had lost a spouse or someone else that was dear to you, a sibling. And you had to deal with that grief, with that loss. Maybe it is that you lost a job that you thought that you had, but out of nowhere it was taken away and perhaps unfairly taken away from you. Or maybe you lost some property. Maybe there was a fire at your home and you lost some things. Or maybe something was stolen from you. But either way, what you found is that you were in need, or you felt helpless or out of control. When you were in that place, did anybody step up and help you? When you were in that place of your lowest, did anybody come alongside of you? Let me ask it another way. When you were in that place, what would you have given for someone to come alongside of you? What would you have given to not be alone? What would you have given for someone to recognize what you were going through? Now, I understand that there may be some people here who are thinking, well, Pastor, this doesn't actually really fit with anything I've been through. I haven't experienced loss. I've never had any kind of feeling of being out of control of my life. I mean, I'm in control. I'm intentional. I'm out there. Life doesn't happen to me. I happen to life, as the saying goes. So even if you relate to none of these situations that I've just described, there is one situation that every person on the face of this planet can relate to, and that is that at one time, we were living in darkness. At one time, we were living in sin. We were lost. We were without hope. We had rejected God, the God who created us, to have a relationship with him, the God who had created us not to go about doing things our own way, but had created us with the desire to glorify him. And we had rejected him. But it was through his son, who we're going to talk about today and for the next few weeks in this series, the king is coming. The king is coming. His son brought us life. See, if you follow Jesus Christ of Nazareth, then you have found the help that you needed. You were not alone in this place of darkness, but light had come to you. It's Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, whom we celebrate during the Christmas season. And so today I want to start things off going back before Jesus was even born, to a time when Israel was wondering what on earth was going on around them. And God rose up a prophet named Isaiah and gave him a message for the people of Israel. So if you'll turn in your Bibles or in your YouVersion Bible app to Isaiah 9, verse 1 to 7. We're going to read this together. It'll also be on the screen behind me if you wish. This is Isaiah speaking, God through Isaiah. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You've enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. Now listen to this. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. That there is the Christmas story for all of you. Will you join me in a word of prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your son. I thank you for this child that was born so that we could have life, so that we could have freedom. And Lord, today as we talk about this passage and as we talk about what it is that you want to do in us and how it is, why it is that we should be writing this thing on a piece of paper that I just talked about, Lord, you'll make it clear to us. God, take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. God, let our hearts be receptive to what you want to say to us today, and let us be people who think critically and go back to your word, to the Bible, with everything that is spoken to check it for ourselves. Pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. So as we read this passage, what we need to understand is that Israel was in a dark place. Israel had turned away from God. They had been punished by him. An invading army had come in, had basically subjugated them. They were in oppression. They were under someone else's thumb. The interesting thing is we find out in other places that one of the reasons why God sent this nation to subjugate the nation of Israel is because they had failed to care for the needy among them. They had allowed injustice to grow up within their own nation. Amongst that, they also turned away from God and many other things. But we see that there's this theme of justice. And yet in the midst of this darkness, in the midst of this hopelessness and oppression, we see that Isaiah begins to talk about what? About hope. He brings a message of hope to the people. See, this child that was born, is a powerful, powerful child. We read about all these things, about light out of darkness. We read about people rejoicing, about the end of war. We read about oppression being done, suffering being gone. But the question still rattles around in our brain. How? How is God going to bring all this about? And that's why I want you to notice there's this one word, this one transition word that makes everything clear. It's the word for. This is all the things that God is going to do, and then for to us a child is born. See, all these things will happen because this child is born. Basically, what the prophet Isaiah is saying is the king is coming. The king is coming. And when the king comes, when this child is born, everything is going to begin to change. It's not going to be the same anymore. It's going to be different now. This king, in case you haven't figured out, this child is Jesus. God's own son come to earth. God himself come to earth as a humble child, because of his love for us, because of his care for us, so that we can have life. If you're taking notes this morning, our first point is this: Jesus is bringing in God's kingdom. Jesus is bringing in God's kingdom. It's something that he has done, and it's also something that he is going to do. But what we see is this kingdom of God is going to change everything. But it's not limited to just certain people. God's not running around going, okay, well, you know what? This little group here, you guys are good, and everybody else, go away. See, what Jesus had to deal with when he was born is all these people, the Jewish nation, they thought, well, the king is coming for us. He's going to save us. And that was true, but something was true beyond that. We see in Scripture that the nation of Israel was chosen so that through them the nations of the world could be blessed. And what we see is that even the prophet Isaiah, as he talks about Galilee, where Jesus would spend a lot of his earthly ministry, he says it's Galilee of the nations. Depending on what translation of the Bible you read, some of them put that as Galilee of the Gentiles, or Galilee of the people that are not the Jews, are not of Israel. And so he says, yeah, the world's in darkness, but light is coming. But light's not just coming for you guys, it's coming for everyone. For to us a child is born. It's coming to all people. One of the interesting things about kingdoms when they come is you got to be a little bit careful who you place your allegiance to, because kingdoms come and kingdoms go. There's a rise and a fall of nations, of kingdoms that we see. I mean, once upon a time, the British Empire meant something. Now we kind of go, isn't it nice? There's a queen. You know, once upon a time, the Egyptians had a massive empire. Once upon a time, the Romans had a massive empire. But where have those gone? And so some of us, we may think, well, okay, so God's bringing a kingdom to the world, but how long is this thing actually going to last? I mean, I don't want to go through all the work and the suffering and the hardship of following Jesus, and then he brings in his kingdom, and then 10 years later, something happens, and it's gone. Why would I want to do that? But what we see here is that his kingdom will never end. He says he'll reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it from that time on and forevermore. And okay, that's great. So Jesus is going to establish it, and he's going to uphold it. He's going to keep it going. But really, how do we know this is going to happen? How do we know it's not going to disappear on us? And he tells us this. He says, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. In other words, the passion, the desire, the overwhelming power of Yahweh Almighty, of God himself, is going to uphold and accomplish this kingdom. It's not going to go away. God is all powerful. He's all knowing. He's in all places at once. He is eternal. His kingdom will never end. His kingdom will never disappear on us. This is a kingdom that Jesus is bringing in that's going to stay. Amen. But you might say, well, why Jesus? I mean, do I really want to be a part of this kingdom? Is this really, I mean, kingdom to us, it sounds kind of bad. I mean, I don't want a ruler. Kings are mean. Kings are unjust. I mean, they pass things down, and then it all just gets messed up. And I don't want to be a part of that. But we're even told a little bit about what that kingdom's going to be like here, and what our ruler is going to be. See, Jesus is rightful king because of some of the traits that were shown here. First of all, as wonderful counselor, he is qualified to rule because he's got great wisdom. He's going to see problems. He's going to see situations. I got it. It's good. He cares about you. He's not thinking just about himself, but he's a wonderful counselor. Jesus is the rightful king because as mighty God, he has the right as God, as creator, and also the power to set up and maintain his rule. As everlasting father, he will relate lovingly but with authority to his subjects. But he's not going to be running around saying, you know what, I don't really care about you guys. I just care about what's good for me. That's not what a father does. Everlasting father, he's there forever. He's present forever, caring about those that he rules. But he's not a pushover either. He's not that best friend that gives whenever he's asked of, but he knows what is best. And he demands what is best. Jesus is a rightful king because as Prince of Peace, his rule will create the society that we all long for. The society that we all desire. Prince of Peace. A society of peace where there is no more suffering, where there is no more pain or death or oppression or injustice. See, because of Jesus, the kingdom of God is a present reality. We talk about the king is coming. That's the title of this series. And the king has come. And the king is still coming. The king has come and he has set up his rule on earth, but the king is still coming back. And when he does, his kingdom will be here forever and completely. You might think, well, if his kingdom is here, then why don't we really see it? Where is his kingdom? What's his kingdom look like? And the interesting thing is that when Jesus was here on earth, he had the Spirit of God on him. And through the Spirit of God, he spoke and he performed miracles and he showed people what the kingdom of God was. But here's the interesting thing. Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, but he didn't leave us who follow Jesus on our own, did he? Jesus sent the Spirit who was on him to us. And through the Spirit's power, we are able to live as members of the kingdom. We bring a little bit of the kingdom to earth. See, the church is meant to be a preview of the kingdom to the world. The church is meant to be a preview of the kingdom to the world. We're meant to be people that when the world looks at us, when people that haven't given their lives to Christ look at us, they say, wow, if that's what it is to follow God, if that's what it is to be submitted to his rule, I want that for myself. But there's a painful reality here that we need to understand, and that is that throughout history, the church hasn't done that great of a job. We haven't. You could probably think of things in the past week that you've done or that other Christians that you know have done that are just like, that's not what the kingdom of God is. That's not what it is to represent God's kingdom to the world. Big ones that still resound throughout history are things like the Crusades, where somebody decided, you know what, I want to help God's kingdom come through. And I mean, obviously, God's kingdom is my kingdom, so we're just going to attack anybody that doesn't believe what we believe and force them or kill them. And yet, God's kingdom is a kingdom of peace. What we need to understand is that we don't bring about the kingdom. We're powerless to bring about the kingdom. What we do is we participate in the kingdom while God brings it about. We are participants of the kingdom. But as we look around and as we see that the church maybe hasn't lived up to its fullest potential in showing the kingdom of God to the world, we might think, well, where is the kingdom then? Maybe the kingdom hasn't come at all. Maybe Jesus showed us what the kingdom was like and then he disappeared and now we're not kingdom people anymore. We're all by ourselves. And yet we see that the kingdom has come. In Luke chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, and he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." The Spirit-empowered Jesus brought the kingdom of God to the world. And the victorious and Spirit-empowered Jesus, when he rose, sent that same Spirit to us. And we are a picture of the kingdom that is here and also not yet. We are a picture of the kingdom that is a present reality but also waiting for us in the future. God's kingdom is in the midst of us, but it's not something that we can see. Yet as together we live for Christ in the power of the Spirit, we can begin to show the world what it is to follow Christ and what that kingdom really looks like. See, the kingdom may only be partially realized, but that does not mean that we cannot represent it well. And what is the biggest themes going through all of the Bible? All of God explaining himself, revealing himself and his plans and his purpose and his desire to us. What is one of the big things that we see? We see that God cares about the least, that he cares about justice. See, Jesus' kingdom is a kingdom of justice. It's not a kingdom where the rich rule and subjugate the poor, but we see even in the way that the entire Israelite society was set up, that the least of these were cared for. Their needs were met, that nobody could become so poor if the law was followed that they wouldn't be able to live. And so what can we as Jesus' people do? You may think the justice, well, that's not something for today, but I mean, look down in the States right now. Here's this country that is supposed to be a powerhouse, is considered a Christian nation, and yet every day in the news you see things about injustices that are done. Racial and economic injustices and oppression and horrific things happening. And all around the world as we look, we see that the poor and the needy are being oppressed by the very people who are put in power in order to protect them. Sometimes claiming to have the church as their authority. But surely not here in Canada, right? Surely here in Canada we're perfect. We're nice. We're pleasant. We say sorry a lot. But here in Canada, if you really open your eyes, you'll see that injustice and prejudice and oppression is everywhere. If you really walk down the street and you open your eyes and you say, God, show me what is wrong in this town. Show me what is wrong in this country. I believe he'll show you. As you drive down the highway, if you are in the passenger seat and you take your eye off the road, I think that you'll quickly see that there is an inequality, that there is an injustice, that there are things that are not right in our world that need something done about it. But as God's people, as Christ followers, as people that are supposed to show a kingdom of justice to the world, what have we done? What are we doing? What are we speaking about? Martin Luther King Jr., I think that we all know who he is. He was arrested over and over and over again for what he believed and what he preached. But in his famous letter from the Birmingham jail, he wrote, "We will have to repent in this generation not merely for the vitriolic words and actions of the bad people, but for the appalling silence of the good people." See, it's not just the actions and the words of those that we say, oh, they're horrible, they're the problem. But it's the appalling silence of those who say, I'm not the problem, that is going to be what we are most held accountable for. See, even if you can honestly say that you've never caused someone to feel oppressed, that you've never caused injustice in the world, that you've never taken away someone's choice, that you've never put yourself above someone else in value. King points out that even in the midst of our good living, even in the midst of us not living in a bad way, if we're not actively speaking out and acting out against injustice in our world, we failed. See, this child that would be born, this Jesus of Nazareth, would be king of a kingdom characterized by justice and righteousness. When the kingdom fully comes, what we're told is that the yoke that burdens them, in other words, the continuing inequality, the weight of the burden that people bear of injustice, and that the rod of their oppressor, in other words, the sufferings that are intentionally and actively enacted against these people, will be shattered, will be crushed, will be no more. It'll be gone. Friends, I believe that it is up to us to begin to do as God would have us do and seek to bring justice to those who have none. We must seek to bring justice to those who have none. Here's the bottom line of this message today. If you haven't written anything else down, please write this down. Everybody have a pen or a paper or something to write it down? Here's what it is. You are a preview of the kingdom that brings justice. You are a preview of the kingdom that brings justice. Let me say that again while you write. You are a preview of the kingdom that brings justice. See, as followers of Jesus, we need to pray, Lord, let my heart be broken for what breaks yours. Let me not walk past people on the street and not care, but let me care deeply about these people's needs. Let me care deeply about the things that are going on in them and the things that are being done in them. Let me stand up for something. And then what we need to do is we need to step into people's lives. We need to get dirty by caring for them and by loving them with everything that you've got. Don't be passive any longer, but become active. See, we don't have to meet every need in the neighborhood or in the community. But you can identify a single injustice or need and then ask God to give you wisdom and then stand tall for those that are in need. As we close today, I want you to remember you are a preview of the kingdom that brings justice. So how are you being that preview? How are you showing the kingdom to the world? What are you doing about that call on your life? How will you begin to have compassion and mercy on the less fortunate and on those who are suffering injustice? So you can continue to think about those questions. Here's one idea that a family had to begin showing compassion and mercy to those that were less fortunate than them and to help their children grow up as people that say no to injustice. Guys, if you can run that video.
And I want to talk about today developing mercy and compassion in our children. Those are two words that some people, when they get into adulthood, may say, well, I'm just not a merciful person, or I'm just not a compassionate person. I personally don't believe that's true. I just believe that maybe when they were younger, mercy and compassion weren't developed inside of them. So this is an easy way that you guys can do that. Something my family loves to do is carry around what we call homeless bags in our car. They're simply paper bags filled with canned goods, filled with water bottles, maybe some gum, maybe fruits or whatever it may be, just something that my children can hand out to homeless people when we see that there's somebody in need. Where this came from was that I actually noticed that my kids would never pay attention, even when we were walking down the street, to somebody that was asking for something, a handout, beggars, things like that. And I noticed that they were absolutely invisible to my children. So when we started putting a few of these homeless bags and keeping them in our car, we would fill them up once a week, put them in the car. Now, my kids, whenever they see anybody at a stoplight, at the corner of the street, they say, Dad, make sure you pull over the left lane because we've got to make sure we give this man a homeless bag. Now, instead of them being invisible, there is a spotlight shining on compassion and mercy right there on the corner of the street. It's not a complicated thing to do, but it is something that I promise your kids, you will see mercy and compassion develop in them.
So that's the way that one family is trying to do something about instilling a passion for people that are less fortunate in their kids. Remember, Jesus brought the kingdom to earth, but it is not yet fully here. In the meantime, you're a preview of the kingdom to the world. You're a preview of the kingdom that brings justice. So how are you going to bring justice today? I told you at the beginning of this message what I was going to have you do, and I'm going to have you do that now. Take a minute or two right this second, and in your mobile device or on a piece of paper, I want you to write down one way that you are going to help someone this Christmas have a better Christmas season, someone that's less fortunate. So go ahead and take 1 or 2 minutes now and write that down. Father, I thank you that you're not someone that ignores those that we often ignore, but that you're someone who deeply, deeply cares for them and loves them. Lord, today I ask that as it can be so easy for us to get so wrapped up in the Christmas season and the hustle and bustle of trying to make this time a memorable time for our children and for our families and making everything perfect, Lord, I ask that it will not distract us from really the purpose of the season, which is not for us to have a big ball, a big bash, but for us to remember your son, that child king who was born, who lived among us and who died for our transgressions, our sins, our wrongdoings, who rose victorious from death, and who paved the way for us to have a life-giving relationship with you. God, help us not to forget about the compassion and mercy and love that you have for those that we tend to just overlook and ignore. But give us a burden for those people, I pray. Lord, these things that we've written down here, I ask that we will not forget about them, that we will not ignore them, that we'll not see them as something quaint, that we won't just do whatever we've written once and then say, well, I've done my duty and now it's up to you, God, for the rest of my life. But that this will be the beginning of something new, something that sparks a passion for justice in our hearts. So help us to live as kingdom people, Lord God, as people that show the world what it is to live in the kingdom of God, a kingdom that brings justice. Lord God, we pray these things. Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you, but the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes from a true relationship with their Creator. So, God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship. I'd love to help you with that, so if you made that decision today, please send me an email to pastor@abundantsprings.church. That's P-A-S-T-O-R at abundantsprings.church, and I'll be sure to follow up with you. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.